Fellas, what's going on?
Yeah, fresh off our Patreon app.
Oh, that was 3 hours of... You just got to subscribe just to see what's going on because it was bad.
There's a lot of bleeps and explicits.
Yeah, we should have it probably out similar time as this pod, I'd say. Jimmy's working maybe. Four jobs at the moment. Yeah. So.
I'm off about 3.5 hours sleep, so...
He's stretched thin, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's like...
I get paid in love.
And Don Antonio, pepperoni.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
Each and every week, boys, we are proudly supported by MJ Trading Cards, okay? Jump on board, simple as that. We have a special, special offer for the listeners. MSR15 is the code, 15% off your first order.
Nice. Okay?
All right. So Mitch, a great friend of the podcast, has grown his business into Australia's biggest and best card break in the Aussie market, I would say. So
keeps coming up on my Facebook and Instagram. Yeah. It's popping up everywhere, doing lives.
Yeah, I know. It does 10 to 15 breaks a day.
It's crazy.
NFL, NBA obviously is a huge one, and motorsport soon. So super keen on that. Jump on board.
Very
listen.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And then hopefully by the time this comes out, our Patreon, at least the video, hopefully the audio will be out.
Yep.
So go to our link tree on our Instagram. It will be on there. It's a 3-hour episode. We dress up of our ultra egos. Alter egos, I should say. And it's a lot of fun. It was an absolute laugh. You can see us gradually get more and more pissed. Tom's literally squeaking through the half thing. And Curtis has probably the biggest blooper in the history of podcasting.
And you had to be there, like, obviously watching it, but, like, you have to know the background story of that, why it was so funny, because Curtis is really, smartest guy that I know, but just struggles to read out results of races and struggles to pick. I don't know how he got that.
He could code something, but he can't count 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Poor kid.
And we love him, so that's why he's with us. But, yeah, check out our link tree. It's the funniest thing we've done. We're going to keep doing it. You're going to have early access to with our special patrons, guests. We've filmed it for special guests, and that's going to be coming up as well. And you get 20% off merch.
Merch as well, yeah. So if you subscribe to Patreon, you'll have early access to the special guests.
Yeah.
So 3 weeks early access, we're probably going to say a couple of weeks
couple
early
weeks,
access,
yeah.
depending. And then 20% off merch. So if you buy a T-shirt.
It's silly not to.
It's your Patreon paid for.
Yeah, that's all right.
So, and we're going to have new stuff coming out hopefully every month. So.
Yeah, we're going to be the guests. We're going to be doing special episodes. After that first one, it was the funnest thing we've ever done.
Yeah.
It was a laugh. So, stay on. It's like $10 a month. It's the greatest motorsport podcast literally in the world that we do.
Mm.
It's universally agreed. I think the King of England said that. So,
and the Pope. The Pope said that. He texted me the other day.
Donald Trump said the same thing. Barack Obama. So, it's making its way.
Barack Obama.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
So I'm sitting down there I'm sitting at home about 2 a.m. last night thinking, fuck, I've just watched boring Bagnaia and even more boring Lewis Hamilton both win races, and I wasn't upset about it.
I wasn't upset either.
No.
Because that's a big thing from you for Lewis Hamilton, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, we're going to go through MotoGP first tonight, as always. But Martin, it's his fault. As simple as that. There's no
fraud watch.
Fraud watch. Not feeling
he's on
sorry
fraud
for him.
Watch.
Not feeling sorry for him at all. He threw it down the road with, 2 laps to go. And it's just, you don't win championships that way.
Nah, let's go to the results and let's really dive into this, because that was, I got a lot to say about that. And
yeah.
It's a lot of his fault, but it's also Pecco's doing.
Yeah, keeping piling the pressure on. Mm. And, that's a really good point as well.
What's the 1 to 10, Daniel?
1 to 10 for the main race. Pecco Bagnaia, Marc Marquez, Alex Marquez, Aneia Bastianini, Franco Morbidelli, Miguel Oliveira, Pedro Acosta, Marco Bezzecchi, Brad Binder, and Raul Fernandez.
Mm.
Went backwards, Fernandez, both races. He's put it in reverse, didn't he?
But he's super impressive from the Aprilian boys.
Yeah, Trackhouse had a really good weekend.
Yeah,
a wholesome weekend, actually. It was a wholesome weekend.
Yeah, I think and Oliveira returned to some sort of form as well, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really good to see him duke it out at the front, and even in the sprint race, scored a second. So
his last podium was in Sachsen Ring back a couple of years ago when Marquez won the race, 2021.
Yeah, that's right. True.
So if I really did my hard research on the for our tips that week, I might have put him in the top five. But where did he end up finishing? Did he finish fifth or
sixth?
I wouldn't have gotten anyway.
No. What about your sprint race there, Daniel?
Sprint race results. Jorge Martin, Miguel Oliveira, Pecco Bagnaia, Anea Bastianini, Franco Morbidelli, Mark Marquez, Maverick Vinales, Brad Binder, Alex Marquez, and Marco Bezzecchi.
Bez 10th.
The other thing I just want to say, for me, Alex Marquez has been fraud watch. You guys have hung on to dear life for him, and he had a great weekend.
Let's get in. We will get into that because he had a great weekend and proving his worth, obviously, with that Gresini Ducati contract. But Martin and Bagnaia, that's the turning point for this championship. That's I'm calling this episode the moment because it's been a huge moment, and that's the moment. And
yeah,
there's a couple of things. Bagnaia wouldn't do that. He would never do that. He used to do it.
He did in the sprint race in California.
Yeah, sprint race is different. But he did this sprint race as well. Is different. When did he do it?
He was leading. Was he leading a sprint or a main race? And he stacked out of first.
Catalunya sprint.
Yeah, still did it.
Yeah, but far out. Like, not in a main race. He's a king of main races.
True, he's a Sunday man.
But what I'm saying is he just kept the pressure on Martin, that 0.6, 0.7, 0.8, and then I thought Martin was past this, but I can't believe he just threw it down the road. And that's the – I'm telling you, that's he's going to – he's, no, not, he's turning, not going to win it. He's not going to win the title.
No, it's done. It's done, done, done. The other thing was Martin, after the sprint race, was in that car with Bagnaia and said to him, I had a massive moment at turn one. I nearly crashed.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that, yeah.
So coming to the main race, you've got two laps to go. It's got to be in the back of your mind. Just take it that little bit easier. I mean, it's –
it's just the pressure, though.
I think the pressure, the fact that he pushed so hard at the start of the race as well, and you could see that gap closing. Mm. I think it would have been a great last two laps. It would have been a lot closer than that 0.6 or whatever it was.
The thing is, 0.7 is nothing.
No, it's nothing. It's running wide.
It's running wide. Right. It's two good corners. Like,
yeah.
It's incredible.
And Pecco was so strong in that third sector as well. It's where he made up all of his time.
Edge grip. And I was just thinking to myself, literally the lap before, I was like, wow, like Martin's really turned the leaf. Like, and I was writing down notes. He's held the pressure off. Like, you know, how good's this? He's the championship still alive? Like, it's, you know, he's had another punch back and then bang.
Yeah.
And he dropped the championship lead.
Yep.
You muzzed him.
I did.
It's your fault.
Yeah. Yeah. Come at me.
Yeah.
It was just a silly mistake.
Such a silly mistake. And he, oh God, he had such a good sprint race. He overtook Bagnaia again in the main race. I thought, oh, here we go.
Yep.
How good's this? Because we've been seeing Bagnaia's praises the last couple of weeks, how he's just going to run away with it. And yeah, I was the same as you, James. I was sitting there writing notes thinking, how good's this? Championship back to where it should be. Yeah. And then.
But it just shows a class of Bagnaia at the same time. Just to, you're never out of the fight. Even if you're a second behind, you're just never out of the fight. And it's really is just a well-deserved win. Credit where credit's due.
Yeah, and it's interesting listening to him post-race. You know, he came out and said, you know, Frankie and Martin, yeah, they were quicker, but they pushed way too hard, too early. Mm.
Yeah.
So he's so calculated.
Racecraft.
He did. He let them go, though, at the start.
He just let them go.
That's a ballsy thing to do, isn't it?
I couldn't do that.
Nah.
He still held his spot in third as well. He didn't crumble under any pressure from anyone behind him. So,
isn't it funny how the media works though? So last week everyone's going Ducati stupid decision, not keeping Martin, and then after the race, oh yeah, Marquez great. Ducati made a great decision. Like it can go from week to week.
It's
so
always
quickly.
A knee jerk reaction. Oh. We're like that as well sometimes. It's very funny, but
it's just interesting. Like now it looks like wow, Ducati they chose the experience and. But, yeah, it might change again next week. Who knows?
But, you know, the thing is Martin's how many years in the championship? 4 years? You can't be making those mistakes if you want to win a title.
No, that's
4 years, you're on into your prime, really. Any normal rider.
Mm. Especially on a bike like that.
But, yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, and Marquez, we can't go look past 13th to first. Amazing race.
Hey, wholesome weekend. It was cool seeing two brothers on the podium. First time since the Aoki brothers.
In 97.
Yeah, so it was cool, I must admit. I was literally thinking the exact same thing at, like, the start of the race. I'm like, it'd be cool to see two... I'm like, have we seen the Marquez brothers on the podium? I'm like, nah, it'd be cool to see it.
I think it revolves around you,
Yeah, it does.
Fucking hell, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's a real problem.
No, I spoke to you about this in the race. I saw something that was unbelievable. The camera was not off that top six the whole race. We did not see anything from the top 10 battle.
No.
We did not see anything down to 15th. The camera did not pan away from those top six. I was like, far out. It was like, it could have been some amazing moves through the field. We saw nothing.
Yeah, I wonder if there was not really anything, was there?
Oh, well, I think Acosta had an incident with someone a 9th or 10th, and they, there was bodywork missing. They said it on the commentary. Didn't show a replay.
Yeah, Vinales ran off standard. Yeah, like fraud that. Watch. Yeah,
but it's just amazing. I've never seen a race where it's just been the front six. That's it. There's no other footage. It was just.
It was good racing all weekend, and I thought normally, funny enough, Saxon Ring doesn't can throw up sometimes. Like a Moto 3 race can one-sided. Someone can just run away with it.
Yeah,
but it's the whole weekend. It was really tight.
Well, same with Moto 2. How was Moto? We'll get onto that later. But Moto 2 was unreal.
Yeah, so it's the
it was whole
really
field
good.
Was within like a crazy, second. Crazy. Like I've never seen that before.
Honda's nowhere again. Remy Gardner, I was happy to see him there. That was nice. Did well.
Did he get in front of Bradle in the end?
He got in front of Bradle. Yeah.
I think because they had penalties, though.
Yeah. Oh, okay, right.
Oh, did they?
So counts. Marini scored his first point as a factory Honda rider.
Oh, yeah.
Purely based on the fact that Augusto Fernandez, Zarco, and Bradle got penalties.
What the tire pressure? Fuck. Bro, why are they taking it right to the limit for, like, that bike? Just, like, a couple more PSI. I mean, seriously, how ridiculous.
It's crazy,
Why would they take it to such a limit when they're fucking fighting for last place?
It just doesn't make any sense.
That is crazy.
25 seconds off the lead. The race was 13 seconds quicker than last year.
Daniel, 12, what's the go with that? Seconds. Why are they going so fast?
Just the bikes. It's just getting better and better and better.
But like Martin broke the lap record, like the second lap.
It's insane.
Yeah, it is insane. Is it tyres? Apparently tyres, different compound, something like that.
Yeah, tyres make a big difference, you know, more grip, especially for those one-off laps and all that kind of stuff. They wear better.
Mm. Who were we talking to? Who said it to you, Daniel, where I think it was you. We're talking about the Aston results because it was cooler conditions this year compared to last year. It was like 30 something degrees, and like when it's super hot, bikes don't run as well.
Yeah,
that's
not as grippy, you know. Where I think Saxon Ring, I think that was a bit cooler.
Yeah, it was on Sunday, 19 degrees.
That makes a massive difference.
So the bikes actually run a lot better as well.
Yeah,
they tend to like it a lot more. Yeah, so, it was pretty crazy. 12 seconds faster than last year. 24 wins for Pecco, most successful Ducati rider as well.
Isn't that crazy? He's already passed Stoner. It's interesting.
4 on the trot.
I know. He did this
a couple of years ago.
This is the races where, you know, things start happening really, isn't it? Middle Europe, they know the tracks.
So summer break now till 3 weeks. Silverstone first week of August. So is it the summer break or is it?
Yeah, they're calling it summer break.
Okay, because I mean, there's 2 3-week breaks.
Yeah, because, so I think they had to.
Kazakhstan got cancelled.
Yep.
So, you know, they're basically lazy MotoGP riders. Seriously, too many breaks.
They're one race in 6 weeks. In 7 weeks, I should say.
I did make a note, Marquez getting really angry at Stefan Bradle. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And I thought, and that was through practice, and I thought he already had that massive high side, which was a gnarly crash.
Yeah.
There's a lot of big crashes through the weekend through all the classes.
Yeah, it's normally a normal thing, I reckon, with Saxon.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of people get beaten up. Remember Randy DePugna? He had a massive crash on that Playboy Honda back in the day.
Yeah, there was a lot of injured riders through the field. There's DJ, Vinales, Marquez.
DJ had a massive one.
Yeah.
But it was just interesting with Marquez because you never really see him get that frustrated if someone cuts his line. Like, you might, you know, all riders will, sorry, but he really got really angry.
Probably PTSD, but seeing the Honda.
Probably, yeah. True. Stefan Bradle twitching. Ruining his bike.
I guess it's frustrating because Stefan Bradle's like he's not in the championship either.
Well,
like get off the line. Like,
I was thinking maybe just the pressure's getting to him. Like he's knowing, you know, he's just had this massive crash. Maybe he thinks he might not be able to fight for a podium. I thought, he might get like a fifth in the main race or something like that. But to pull out, get second as well. Mm. You know, it was actually surprised me. On Saxon Ring.
Yeah, first time he's ever been beaten at Saxon Ring.
Yeah.
12 starts, 12 podiums, but...
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
That's insane.
He's still the king of the ring.
I remember back in, was it like 17 or 18, Jonas Folger came from nowhere and like battled him for the lead. Do you remember that?
Yeah, for a couple laps.
I actually had money on Folger that... No, it was like nearly the whole race,
was
bro.
It?
Yeah, it was just about.
And I had money on Folger. He was paying like 50-1.
Yeah, it was the only thing he ever did, but then...
I know.
Then he got herpes on the liver or something like that, and that was it.
He did. He had like, I don't know what he had, but like some unknown Casey Stoner illness. And then did nothing, didn't he? Is he still a test rider?
He came back.
He popped up like last year.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He came back.
French?
German.
German, that's it. Yeah, of course.
Deutschland. And it was interesting as well after Bagnaia won, they interviewed Tardozzi, really keeping a lid on it. Did you notice that? He was really just like, normally so up and about, his hair's going everywhere, and Paolo Campanotti's buddy shaking his head and stuff like that. But he was really just keeping a lid on it. There's like still 400 points to go. You know, just, it was just, I don't know, just so small things. I just thought it was really interesting.
Does that go back to what you were talking about last week? How
I thought that
Ducati was like so over celebrating when Bastianini passed Martin to the last corner at Mugello.
I don't know.
It's I don't think so.
Has he made a change in that way?
No, I think that'll probably just go down to probably them learning from the championships being so tight, just to take it as it comes and it enjoy it for what it is, and
it was interesting.
Not get too far ahead.
I was
of
getting so frustrated at Morbidelli in the race. I'm like, just fucking pass Bagnaia. What are you doing? He's like, oh, he's VR46 Academy rider. They're best friends. I fucking hate that. I hate that.
Just passed him, but
no. But eventually, it took ages to do it. Like, he was waiting for the right moment. Like, it's just, I hate that. I hate that cult. That VR46 cult that's in that paddock. It needs to be exterminated.
Well, they're all going to different bikes now. Good. So
yeah, I know.
Fair play to him, buddy. Raced well, man.
Yeah. Is he back? Is Mortadella back?
Yeah. Well, we had a few messages. I love the messages through the race.
Yeah, people message us. Great.
That would annoy me if I wasn't watching the race and I seen something. I'd fucking lose it.
You should be watching it live, Chich. Come on,
no, just on the off chance.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
I got to turn Instagram notifications off, because like, if I'm on a run or something, I just it's just Motorsport Republica.
Ding, ding.
That shady V4.
Is he back? He's back.
Yeah, he's back.
It's hand.
Freaking banana man commented on a post you tagged in.
Chris Sepp said you shout out. Get your ones as well.
Construction
site. Brayden Hardcastle. Number one ticket holders right there.
Yeah. There's some contenders for the end of the year. Just a solid week of racing, I think. Weekend of racing with a Moto2, a Moto3. It was just a great weekend. And the other thing is that track, as much as it's a go-kart track, it is exciting to watch.
Yeah, it is. And it pulls off something different where they're so left-hand orientated when they go onto that right side of the tire, and you see some big crashes, and obviously Digi had a massive crash.
It was interesting. I know we're going jumping between categories, but going to see Rulestone, he went off, came back on, and then crashed.
Yeah,
because they said his tire pressure and his temperature went down. Like, it's just such a fine tooth comb, isn't it?
Mm.
Unbelievable.
Another thing I noticed as well is Marquez and Bagnaia. I reckon they're a closer relationship and have more respect with each other than a lot of people think.
Mm.
And I reckon there's more respect there between them two than Marquez and Martin. Whenever I see probably. Marquez and Martin, they don't like each other.
No.
I feel like Bagnaia and Marquez, you know, then I wouldn't say obviously the best of mates, but you can just tell there's a bit more admiration there, where if they're on the Marquez and Martin on the podium, it's pretty cold.
Mm. Yeah, it's like they're so similar.
A little bit. And Martin said a few things about Marquez and stuff like that. And like, you know, it's an ego-driven thing.
Of course.
I'm over Martin, man. I'm over him.
He
looks like he's over it, but
he looks just like... And his interview at the end of the race was like, it's racing. I'm like, no, you don't, like, come on. Like, you can't move on that quickly. You got to learn from the mistake.
Is Martin's mental toughness or resilience or whatever you want to call it just not there yet?
I don't know.
Does he have that X factor mentally?
I mean, he's got it in
the riding style, but mentally.
He's arguably the fastest guy out there.
Oh, I agree.
He's arguably definitely the fastest on a single lap, 100%.
Bagnaia just has the racecraft.
Yeah. But that's all through the years. You look at Rossi. Fuck, his podiums to win ratio was so like subdued. And the thing is, remember Martin in Moto3? He nearly polled every race.
Yeah.
But didn't win. Didn't win the championship that year, did he? I think he won it the second year.
I think you're right.
Crashed a lot in that season. So, it's interesting. Different riders have different strengths. You can't be a perfect rider.
No, that's right. Mm. That's right. It's a hard one. But, like, it just seems to be the same old story.
I know.
You know?
I know.
When's he going to learn? The biggest thing. That's the other thing. Is he going to learn?
Jeez, that guy from last week, that hot take. I forget who it was. I'm sorry. But he'll never win a championship.
Yeah, that was on our Patreon app, wasn't it? Was that last episode?
Might have been.
I don't know. Patreon app was very blurry. I can't remember much.
Getting home.
Too many three podcasts in a week.
I'd already had a couple of tits before getting here as well.
That's funny.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff come out And a lot of people are saying the same thing. Like, you're dreaming if he's going to bring the number one plate across, because
I don't think it's happening.
Nah, it's just not going to happen.
I was
It would be one of the most surprising things I've ever seen in MotoGP.
So much crazy stuff's already happened. Yeah. Who knows? You know?
Of course.
I saw a meme and it was like, it was like Martin came off, and then it was like Tardozzi with like a button to like blow the rear tire. I was like, that's perfect. I'm like, wish I came up with that.
Yeah. You're gonna be acoustic for that stuff.
You do. Gertie.
I like the Keanu Reeves one that was on there.
Yeah, that was funny. The Keanu Reeves.
He got
Reeves
a bit of airtime, Keanu, didn't he?
Yeah, he's good. You got a photo with him at Phillip Island.
Yeah. He did. He's a very dry character, isn't he? Like,
he loves it though.
Builds his own bikes.
Yeah.
There's a cool video of him, like, they like get him on to a certain part of the track on the back of a scooter, yeah, and he like runs off the scooter like a little kid.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that.
He's just the same as everyone else. Yeah, and that's what we would do.
Yeah, love Simon Crafer. I was like eating out of his palm of his hand in that interview. That's cool. Good on him.
Yeah, 100%. It was really good to see, and it's good to have those celebs because it brings new fans and everything as well.
Yeah, and like they actually know what he's talking about. Like, it's not like a celeb that's in there. Like, that funny, was it Martin Brundle when he's like, oh, there's Christine Aguilera pretending that she's interested in Formula One? That was so funny.
Well, they had Brian May there.
Didn't he snub him?
Yeah, he snubbed him twice.
Was it twice?
Yeah.
Who the fuck's Brian May anyway?
He's part of Queen. He's the guitarist for Queen.
Oh, is that him?
Yeah, he's like their head guy. I mean, now he's the head guy, I suppose.
HIV positive?
HJC positive. we'll talk about that later though. But what was that?
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, yeah. And you see big Carl Cox every now and then.
Carl Cox is a legend.
Yeah, Coxy. You're friends with him, aren't you, Daniel? Coxy?
Yeah. Best buds. We go way back, man.
Way back.
I wonder if the soccer players are into it, because sometimes you'll see them at the Spanish and Italian rounds, yeah, like Real Madrid players and that.
Yeah, sometimes they get there. I mean, we see, was it last year? I think even the year before, when it comes down to the title decider, you've got people sending him messages. Different athletes. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I think Nadal and Marquez are pretty tight.
Yeah, I think they're really close.
Yeah. It's a cool friend to have.
That is cool. Yeah, he's really cool.
He's
quite into it. So, and then I know, like, Alonso's a massive fan, as is Hamilton.
Yeah. Well, Hamilton's talks of him buying Gracini.
Yeah, what's the go there? That's all kind of been falling on deaf ears, hasn't it?
Okay.
I think so.
How's Marquez coming out and going, yeah, I'll buy a Formula One team? That was pretty funny.
But it's interesting. I mean, you're going to have like Pitbull owning Trackhouse. Well, owns Trackhouse, I should say.
Yeah, but it's funny. They don't use his face. If you really didn't know, you wouldn't know Mr. Worldwide.
But that cross, you know, thing is, I think, really cool for the sport as well.
I think it would be awesome, to be honest.
Well, Hamilton needs to do something though, like, post-retirement. He needs to have his fingers in some different baskets, I suppose.
Well, he was obviously a big fan. He was a big fan of Rossi.
Mm.
Well, they swapped bike and car.
Yeah, that's cool. That was a Valencia or something, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's really cool. When they were riding, Rossi rode like Remy Gardner's Yamaha and the Max Biaggi's bike.
How's Locatelli getting elbow down on a 500?
Oh, did he actually get elbow? Oh, yeah, he did too. That
one
photo.
Of you guys put the photo
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's cool.
Trying to peace sign.
I think Brooksy was there as well. The Isle of Man TT bikes were there.
Oh, that was the Monster Energy Day.
Oh, was it different?
So they did a, what do they call it? Day of Legends for Monster Energy.
Yep.
All Monster athletes. And then they did Yamaha one too.
Okay. But Rossi was at both, wasn't he?
He was at both, yeah.
Because Philip Oddle rode a few bikes. It was like an Eddie Lawson or something. Yeah.
That's cool.
Good friend of the pod.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But it was cool to see. But that Biaggi bike, man. That red so Marlboro. Good. It's cool that they leave the Marlboro on it as well.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, they can't take it off.
Can't get rid of it.
Appreciate the cigarettes.
Some interesting news on GP and a bit of rider movement as well. So it should come out sooner rather than later that Digi is actually going to stay at VR46.
Oh, yeah?
Because they should get the 25 bike.
Oh, okay, cool. That's good to know.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. VR46 gets the 125 bike or?
Both.
Really?
Interesting. That's no surprise.
That's no surprise.
And then Furman to Gracini.
A GP24. So Factory Ducati, you got Bagnaia, Marquez, then you're going to have Digia and Morbidelli on VR.
Most likely
Morbidelli. And then you'll have Gracini, Marquez and Aldeguer. It's
not a bad lineup.
It's not a bad lineup.
I like it.
Yeah, it's not a bad lineup. But then you look at KTM's lineup. They got four solid riders. But you need some youth in there. I think that's why I like Elder Gear. I think that I like that. In the at the end, his last two races, he's shown us why he's there and why he's signed.
Yeah, a little bit.
He was fraud watched. Remember, like, what, 3 weeks ago we were talking about this, like how ridiculous it was, blah, blah, blah. He's come out and won two races pretty convincingly, so.
A little bit.
Yeah, still on the fence, but yeah, to be honest, I don't think this, I can't really judge it off this track because you freaking can't.
Yeah, I know.
You can't do track limits here, so.
How's Arbolino finally?
He did all right, eh?
Finally coming good.
He did pretty good.
That's true. That's a good point. Hey, last thing on MotoGP, unless you guys got anything.
No.
I liked Pecco giving back to the fans, giving some knee sliders to two kids. That was cool.
That was really cute.
That was a wholesome weekend.
Well, wholesome all around, like with Formula 1.
Yeah, it was.
Hamilton,
yeah.
That could be the name. What's going to be the name of the pod?
I was going to say The Moment.
Or it could be wholesome.
I like wholesome. A Wholesome Moments.
Yeah. That's nice. I like that.
Everyone's nice.
So Moto 2, Daniele Briscali.
Moto 2. Fermín Aldeguer, Jake Dixon, Ayagura, Diego Moreira, Celestino Vietti, Sonkeet Chantra, Sergio Garcia, Joe Roberts, Tony Arbolino, and Alonso Lopez.
Aegis 11th?
Yep.
Good ride.
Great race. Yeah. He had a really good race.
Yeah.
Just unfortunate with his tire.
Great race. Probably one of the best Moto 2 races in.
I think we're saying that every weekend at the moment.
They've nailed it.
Yeah.
Moto 2 used to be a snooze fest.
Yeah. It's the triumphs.
It is. Has to. And it's just changed so much. And I love watching it. And
the talent pool's just.
Off the charts.
I'm not a massive follower of the smaller categories like you guys are, but I could name all 15. I could name 15 riders in that field. Comfortably. Know exactly where they come from.
Yeah,
what their history is like. It is really, really interesting. You know, I saw one of the greatest saves ever was Furosato's save when Munoz lost.
Oh, in Moto
3. That's Moto 3, but.
Oh, sorry, Moto 2. Yeah, I knew that.
As I said, how's Moreira's fourth place though? Rookie.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Freaking amazing ride.
Yeah, it was a bit of a breakout ride, wasn't it?
He was tearing through everyone.
Yeah,
and credit to Vietti to hold.
He did well. He was almost MJ Performance of the Week if he held third. Was it third or second?
Third. He ended up. He got pipped by Agüero Emirera. Mate, he was speedway style, out of those last few corners. It was so good to
watch. That was good to see. It's amazing those Moto 2 tires just go off. They just fall off a cliff.
It
happened at Senna and it happened to Arbolino as well.
It happens to Alonso Lopez every weekend.
He's the Jack Miller of Moto 2.
He is. Yeah, you're not wrong. But it shows how good these guys are that are consistently winning, that can ride fast but somehow save that tire life. And for Senna, it was awesome seeing him up there, but he's obviously only a rookie and it's going to take time to learn that stuff. But
yeah, I think
it's
fighting
a real racecraft.
Fighting with Jake Dixon all race as well just doesn't help tire wear because...
Doing anything of Jake Dixon doesn't help anyone.
Well, you just
that doesn't have your mental state.
You just can't get into the rhythm.
Nah, that's
the other thing.
That's true. What changed with Arbolino? Because he's first ride back up there.
They changed the settings on his bike. Back
he went back to like a Jerez or something.
Jerez settings. Yeah.
I'm not too sure to be honest, but I think the last couple of weeks he's sort of been there or thereabouts for a little bit anyway.
It's good to see him and Vietti up there. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to see KTM back up there with Vietti. Look, credit where it's due. Jake Dixon, he rode a decent race.
What did he get, second?
Second.
No, he rode a really good race.
Yeah.
He rode a decent race,
And his interview wasn't too, what's the word? It wasn't so just lame.
How's Renita Vermeulen fangirling on the post?
Leg of bro, I'm going to unfollow her.
I know. What's she bloody name dropping? She starts tagging people and the wife and stuff. Come on, Renita, get better. You've been shabbed. She doesn't listen anyway. Too busy.
Yeah. Oh,
then we repost her stuff. Leg it, bro.
Sort out, Daniel.
Yeah. Go get Pino, the debt collector over there.
Oh, man.
Iguru's coming good.
He's racing really well, man. He's
one championship threat.
He's one that's really, really good on the tyres, hey?
He's going to be really good until Valencia.
Until the last race of the year.
Yeah, and then you'll throw it down the road.
Hey, credit to Joe Roberts too, finishing eighth, coming off that broken collarbone.
Yeah,
man, that
would
have been a hard slog this weekend for him.
He would have taken that,
especially
at the start of the
weekend. Those bikes through that track, not easy.
No, it's not
easy.
Yeah, it's a pretty physical track. It's a really physical track.
You don't get any brakes.
No, you don't.
Like
the straight's no brake.
Well, even coming up the straight, like they're trying to keep the front down. they finally get to like the fast start finish straight, and they're braking. Like it's
that's
just
a
not
hard
stop.
First corner. That's a really tough first corner. I know. How many stacks do you see there every year?
Well, the other thing is the right hand side of the tire. It goes back to that. There's only three right handers, and the hardest corner on the
and it dips down.
It's a banked corner.
It's off camber, isn't it? Like just. Yeah.
It's a technical track.
And it's downhill.
How's Rueda? I suppose he locked up different. He was following, but Rueda's crash was...
In Moto3? Yeah.
And no runoff. It's straight to the catch fan.
That was wild. I had my head, like my hands in my head. I was like this watching it. Like, far out.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it's shaping up to be a super tight championship. Again, as you said, Agüero, he's only 7 points behind Garcia.
Yeah, no, he's definitely a championship threat.
Mm.
Fermín Aldeguer is slowly getting back in there again.
Yeah, he's 30-odd points away.
He'll come good.
Well, 39 points, I think.
He needs to.
Mm.
It was crazy. We're going on to the MotoGP telecast, and then it was under investigation for tyre pressure.
For tyre pressure,
I was like, oh my God, you don't have any more, you can't do any track limits, and then this happens. But obviously nothing came out of it.
But how do you be under investigation? Like, you're either there or you didn't do it.
I don't know.
That doesn't make
sense. But nothing came out. And I'm like, since when is tyre pressure issues in Moto2?
Mm. They need a scrap. Oh, I'm not going. We're not talking about it, but far out.
Such a Fermín Aldeguer thing to do.
Oh, no, dude, imagine.
And track limits are so annoying as well. Because it just can take away from a good race.
Yeah, it's ruined a couple of races. Brad Binder's copped it a couple of times. Yeah. It's probably where his confidence has fallen from the wayside. Probably can't look at green anymore. See some grass and PTSDs out. I'm going to have to say the MT Moto2 helmet. Moto2 bike is one of the best looking motorcycles on the planet. I love the shape. It looks sick.
It's like a bit of orange and blue.
Yeah, it's like the shape of it. Like just looks good. The Bosque Oscuro looks mint.
Oh, I do like Aldeguer and Alonso's bike. That looks especially when they change the colours up to the orange or the blue, or sometimes they got that pink and black.
The pink's cool.
Anything that's like highlights like that, I always like.
It looks good on a race bike.
Mm.
Yeah. But you can't for me as well, you can't go past the Red Bull KTM.
Yeah, it's always cool, isn't it?
It's a cool looking bike.
It's always normally number one.
Even the CF Moto looks right. The blue, like you said, those bright colours.
Mm.
Just not on Dixon.
Yeah, I like fluoro. I love fluoro stuff, as we all know. Mm. And hopefully you are going to be our Patreon listener. But if you're for a non-Patreon listener, the PG version, my favourite bike of all time is the 2021 Aprilia RSGP. With the fluoro front winglets.
I kind of vaguely remember you talking about that.
Yeah, it just popped into my brain. What about Moto3 results there, Danwell?
Moto3.
Another good race. Oops.
David Alonso, Teo Furusato, Ivan Ortola, Adrian Fernandez, Angel Piqueras, Rusei Yamanaka, Danny Holgado, David Munoz, Tatsuki Suzuki, and Scott Ogden.
Hey.
Angel Piqueras, even though it was a racing incident, you're dead to me. You're dead to me. Taking out Jacob. How dare he? He's a Republica rider. Get Pino after him.
He had a great weekend. God, he's so talented.
Yeah, he was up in the front of the pack. He was on for a... He could go a podium.
He was flying.
Yeah. That was a shame, man. Far out, that was a shame. But that's racing, you know.
That's racing. Yeah.
And that's that corner. We were just talking about before the pod. Morbidelli, Marquez, Woolstone, Piqueras. They're looking through that corner. Yeah, they're not turn one. Yeah, you can't see who's cutting back in.
And he had a bit of a moment there anyway. If he doesn't have that, they both get through fine.
Going back to the Marquez Morbidelli incident, like I'm thinking Marquez like bruised ribs as well.
Yeah.
Pops him off like violently.
Yeah.
Fuck, that would have shocked him.
Those guys are so tough.
Oh.
Good painkillers.
Yeah.
God, I have to be heavy, bloody getting fucking injections and stuff.
Well, what about Mick Doohan back in the day? That fused his two legs together and then he was on a bike within a couple of weeks, hobbling on.
Different breed.
They're different breeds, aren't they?
Especially them, those guys back in the day.
Yeah, they almost lost a leg. Yep. Literally almost got amputated because his other leg had to heal.
Yeah, he's.
And then, you know, and like the technology. Oh, come on, Chich, what are you doing? Cherry?
What's going on here? What's she doing? Sorry. Here you go.
Thumb break.
Thumb break.
He was the first with a thumb break.
Yeah, that's right. True. And then. There's no protection. Like the leathers were just almost leather over you. A small back protector. The boots were nothing.
They all
want
a thumb break now, don't they?
Not all of them.
Well, most of them do.
Yeah.
But Mick Doohan actually needed it because...
Yeah, he couldn't break.
He couldn't use his foot to...
So it's rear brakes, the front... Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And he would have won that title that year. He almost would have won six.
Has that come out to, like, road bikes yet? Can you get a thumb brake installed?
That's a good question.
You can probably get it installed, yeah.
But nothing factory?
Nothing factory, no.
I don't think you need it. It's like probably like a biggest wank fest, like riding
in the hills with a thumb brake. I think it is a thing for stunt riders. Mm. They have it on there.
Yeah. I think Christian's talked about that.
Yeah.
Do you even, like, use a rear brake, though, like, in on the road?
I don't.
Nah.
Not really. I don't. No.
Not good
at it. Some people like it. Some people like that feeling, but I've always... Front brake on the road.
Yeah.
Or if you're emergency stopping, yeah, you need it.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Sorry, James. I just asked general questions.
No, that's all right. I've never really used it.
All right, back to my Furisato save because I got the wrong category before. That was insane.
It was like, crazy.
I can't remember that. What was that?
He's got... you describe it because it's your thing.
Munoz. He lost it, sent Furisato out wide. He was like kicking the bike. Kept it on, came off into the sand trap and then came back in.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, it was the left-handers.
Barely any time.
And bro, I could not believe, like, he's done. Like, to get back on the bike, and they said all these motocross experience in the off-season helped him, but crazy. Like, and for a Japanese rider to do that was really impressive because they'd all be fucking up.
He's had a pretty good year, Taro Furusato.
He was on. He's finished second in the end.
Taro-san.
He did finish second, yeah.
He's having a really good year.
I have a thing about pole position at Saxon Ring. I think it should be on the inside. I saw so many situations, both all three races and the sprint race, where the inside line was just the more favoured line. And I don't know why they always do that. They always go on the outside line. It's even the racing line because they come off and then come out and then turn in.
True. It is funny. And going back to MotoGP sprint race real quick, Just Bagnaia, like, caught sleeping. Miguel and Martin just run it out wide, and he just cuts through. Like,
but that's what he did,
making it so easy for him. You gotta just try and beat him up a bit.
Yeah, I know.
It's just caught sleeping. Like, what are you doing?
And that was really impressed me in the main race because, like, Martin just had to go and pass him again, and he did.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was, you know, didn't eventuate in the end. But if you let Bagnaia go for two more laps, he would have gone.
Lorenzo effect.
Gone.
Yeah, that would have been game over.
So
just can manage a race so well.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's my, like, again, Bagnaia started fourth. Didn't work for him as well in the main race, but fourth in the sprint race, straight up the inside, late break, inside corner, and gone first.
As you say, if he was on an NBA card, his racecraft would be 99.
Yep. Celebration, BB. Like, 10.
Yeah.
Negative.
Yeah. Yeah. What's his special? Fist pump. Yeah.
He dunks the ball and goes 3 points. I'll
never get over that.
Oh, no. That was the thing for me. Like, if you're going to do it right at least.
Yeah. Or make it right.
Yeah.
Like, a dunk is not worth 3 points. I don't even follow basketball.
They should have wheeled like a gas cooker out there. You could have put pasta on or something. That would be... Could they, like, put the parmesan cheese over the top and stuff? That would be cool. I would love that.
Carbonara, you reckon? Let him cook. Let him cook.
Yeah, that's good. We should be creating world championship celebrations.
Let him cook.
Let him cook. Do a little TikTok dance in the background.
Yeah. But just like, yeah, anyway, we're going off track. But like, that's fucking, that's, yeah. Just, you know, go back to your roots. Not like basketball. Is basketball a big deal in Italy, Daniel?
I think it's pretty big.
Yeah, I think it's pretty big.
It's interesting, isn't it? Just how did that seep through?
The Greeks are big on it as well. We talked about this like two podcasts ago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Only the Olympics part. Like, I don't see them anywhere. Like, I can't name one Italian NBA player.
Nah, I don't think I can either. Antonio Spagnoli.
You guys are cool.
They're good at motorsports. Stick to motorsports.
Well, they can't even do that at the moment.
Actually,
in the younger categories,
you know what?
They?
Someone does follow us. Italian high jumper. I swear he got the gold medal in high jump.
No,
he follows us.
Oh, the one that
they shared the gold medal.
Yeah,
that was one of the best things that happened at the Olympics was that situation.
Yeah, I remember watching that live. Weirdly,
three years ago. That's why it doesn't seem as long. Yeah, right.
That was cool. Gangly, that guy. Gangly.
Yeah, he was like one of those things that flap out the front of a car dealership.
But I think, legitimately. But I know Bagnaia likes basketball because he went to the NBA with Bezecchi and all that.
Yeah, I think a few of them get around it.
Yeah. There's a big American culture of those guys, actually.
Yeah.
They like that stuff. They do, which is cool. But yeah, shit celebration.
Terrible.
You know, you just don't lean into it. Lean into just... Casey Stoner wasn't a celebratory guy.
That's the thing. Right. Don't do it if you're not... You're going to do it
You
got to
be natural at it.
Yeah,
Lorenzo was natural at it.
Yeah.
Rossi was.
Yeah. Did we think Lorenzo was natural at it then, though? Or did...
Lorenzo lands cool.
Yeah.
But, like, you also like to hate Lorenzo. So, when he did it, like, it was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, give it to him and shit, you know?
Because Marquez's celebrations, like, world championship ones.
Well, he had a cool one where he had the video game in Japan and then he, like, pressed the button and his gold helmet came out of it.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a cool one.
What was...
Seven up? Is that...
Something like that,
Level 7?
Yeah, that's the one.
That's right, level 7. What was Acosta's one last year?
Yeah, just like a shark on the...
Pizza delivery?
Was it something funny?
Oh, no. The pizza delivery he did last year was good.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. See, he's got an act for it.
He does, yeah. He's got some nounce about him. He's got a bit of, you know. He's not a dork.
So, okay, so when...
he's not a dork.
When Bagnaia wins the title this year, in your perfect world, Tom, what do you want him to do?
Well, I just said
so before. He crosses the finish line. Okay. What happens? Okay, give me a play-by-play.
So you got like seven chefs in like the full chef outfits pushing out like a gas cooker with like a big pot of like boiling water. He puts the pasta in. And a second one comes out.
Yeah.
What do you put in the carbonara? Not bacon.
Guanciale.
He's chopped up the guanciale. Pepper. Okay. Flips it, spins it, and then goes like, and then they present the helmet to him like this.
Should we get like a special Italian chef to like help him do that or something like that? And get like a celeb.
And then like everyone's like, bubbity, 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 bubbity. It's not even funny at all. It's fucking ridiculous. Anyway, what's your perfect celebration, Daniel?
I don't even know. For him?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It'd have to be a play on something that he's interested in, I guess.
Well, that's basketball, and that was terrible.
Well, he's getting married soon, isn't he? Next week or so, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Shit, that was in our category of one of our topics we were talking about on the Patreon episode. The WAGs, the wives and the girlfriends.
That's true. Yeah, she was in the firing line. Unfortunately.
Who had her in the firing line? I can't even remember.
Tisha shoved the shit out of her.
Cassandra, I think her name is. Cassandra?
I don't know, Domitia. Bro.
Domitia, yeah. Right you are.
Nah, he should just go...
He's squeaking.
You squeaked the whole 3 hours. Daniel and I just looked at each other the whole time while he was squeaking at his own jokes. He would make something, he would laugh at his own jokes.
Bro, you know what? The real MVP of that podcast was
Curtis. It's always Curdy. Curdy's always number one. Not drinking, he's the funniest.
Not drinking.
Cold.
Cold.
First away from the heater.
He was. And then us giving him shit the whole time because he couldn't read out the correct thing. And then what a trooper. He's the best.
And he just like chimes in at some point.
Oh, far out.
Not with us tonight, poor Curtis.
Yeah.
Yeah, under the weather, poor Curdy.
Could have let us know,
Bart. He's under the weather because he was sitting in the goal for 3 hours.
he lives his own life. Like he won't tell you he's not coming. He just expect you to know. Like, and you can't tell him what to do.
No, well, well, you can't really give him too much shit, can we?
No, we pay him in pizza.
Don Antonio.
But he doesn't agree with. He's the best, Curdy. Oh my god, he's actually one of the funniest people I've ever met. You know, people were just funny for.
Not being funny.
Naturally, he's just funny. Naturally funny. How he lives.
He's come out of his shell a lot, Curtis.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
since
the funniest.
When we first met him.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to move into our MJ performance of the week.
Who we got?
I can't believe I'm saying this.
You're going to say it, aren't you?
Lewis Hamilton. Amazing. First person to 9 wins of the single circuit in the history of the Formula 1. 17 years since his first win. Just unbelievable. And I have to give it to him. He got the luck was on his side on last night on the race, but he was there. He had to have the pressure on him. He had, 11 laps to last on those soft tyres. Absolutely blew Norris out of the water. Held on to that win.
and just the scenes in Silverstone were just incredible. Hearing him crying on the...
Yeah, how was the emotion, hey?
Crying on the radio broadcast, how much it meant, how hard these 3 years have been for him. I had a good mate of mine, Alf. He listens to the pod from work, and he's a massive Hamilton fan. He said he was sitting in his house 1:30 this morning in tears.
Wow.
And it just shows you how important and how what sport can do, you know?
Yeah. And so, he's won so much, and it's how much it still means to you to win after a few years.
100%. Like, he's got everything. He's got his world titles. He's got all this money. He's got his Ferrari contract. But for him to have that win in his last Silverstone, his last English Grand Prix with Mercedes, kudos.
Mm.
Kudos. Like, he's been my arch nemesis for my whole adult life since year 8.
Mm, I remember.
Sorry, year 7 on debut. So a long, long time, but...
respect.
Well done. Respect.
Good homage, mate. And what a great race.
Crazy race. Yeah.
Silverstone is just built for Formula One, isn't it?
So a couple of ripping races, boys. F1 is in a great place. It's I know we've had some boring ones, but it's in a great space.
It's in a great space, and I don't know who's going to win anymore, which is really exciting.
Verstappen definitely did not have. Red Bull was probably the third fastest car.
Okay, well, talk me through it. We've touched on it a couple episodes ago, but is the rain over? Is Red Bull's rain over?
I think so. I mean, he was clearly not fast enough in the race. I mean, you looked at the first stint. Mercedes were out there, 1 and 2, looking unbelievably. Norris was hanging on for dear life. Rain came down. It showed how good that McLaren was in those sort of...
that
slightly wet, damp conditions. Yeah. And obviously on the broadcast, I was saying it's got slightly softer suspension. So, going through that. And then Verstappen had no answer. Yes, at the end, he fitted the right tyre at the right time. I don't know for the life of me why McLaren, first of all, didn't pit Norris and Piastri at the same time. They let Piastri go. That fucking cooked his race. The second thing was, you could have brought Piastri in a lap earlier, even though the people were like, they knew the rain was coming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then thirdly, they put the soft tire on Norris when he had a fresh set of mediums.
Yeah.
Piastri was going 2 seconds a lap faster than Norris.
They really did botch that race.
He completely botched the race, and they could have had a 1 and 2.
Yeah.
They could have had a 1 and 2. So super, super disappointing in that. And they had. They had Zach Brown on the fork and the telecast, and they were just, he was like, yeah, we'll play it, you know, but they completely muffed the whole thing.
They did.
And you got to be there or thereabouts at the right time. And credit where credit's due, Mercedes, they brought Hamilton in, they pitted him, put the soft tire in, because that was their only fresh tire they had, the new tire, and he went out and did the job.
Is Mercedes now a contender for a race win most weekends by the looks of it?
Yeah, I would say so. All three of them. I mean, I don't know what's happened to Ferrari. I mean,
what's going on there? They're really... And Leclerc had a stinker of a race.
Another shit call from Ferrari, bringing him in, putting the intermediate tire on.
They were still dry.
I know. It was crazy. And as Martin Brundle was saying on the telecast, it's such all high-speed corners, so it just rips the tire apart. So you can't fit the tire too early on that track. So,
and it's a long circuit, it's a long track as in long lap.
Yeah, exactly right. You know,
long pit stop.
You got to be sure of it.
You got to be really sure.
But man, Piastri had the pace. I think he could have won the race as well.
Yeah, it got a bit. Yeah, it's just unfortunate, wasn't it? Really was.
Really unfortunate. But how good's the mixed conditions? I mean, at the start of the race, I'm thinking, oh, God, this is going to be a
love mixed conditions.
But then, boom, a little bit of
rain.
Yeah, a little bit of God's tears came down and just.
That's a British summer for you right there.
Exactly right.
But they say Melbourne's got 4 seasons.
Yeah, that was 4 seasons on a day.
Are you kidding me? The track just like drains so quickly.
Yeah, it's like the MCG.
The dry line was wet and then it was dry within like 1 or 2 laps. Yeah. Like insane. And I mean, F1's in a great place. And
Haas was up there again.
Yep.
Oh, well, Hülkenberg, far out.
Jeez, he can drive.
Yeah, isn't he?
Sixth. In that car.
Yeah.
Beat both the Ferrari. Oh, sorry. Nearly one beat Sainz. One of the Ferraris. But, how embarrassing Ferrari would have that many personnel. They give the engine to Haas, and then Haas nearly do as good a job on the weekend. Yeah. I mean, that's...
Have we done our 1 to 10?
Nope.
Are we going to do that?
Go for it.
Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, Carlos Sainz, Nico Hülkenberg, Lance Stroll, Fernando Alonso, Alex Albon, and Yuki Tsunoda.
Mm. Yeah, celebrate your 1 point, Tsunoda.
Standard.
You're done, mate. You're done.
But well, we're the only one saying that. Everyone else thinks he's a talent and he's going amazing. He's not. He's done nothing. He's done nothing to show that he should be in the Red Bull seat. So Ricardo's done the same.
Perez is nowhere.
They've backflipped pretty quickly.
Haven't they ever? They've put the pressure on him straight away.
There's clauses in the contract, apparently. So he's got to be within 100 points of Verstappen to keep a contract, they're saying. That's the rumour. He's 120 points behind already. Do you reckon he's going to outperform? Like, seriously, like...
Who should be, in your opinion, Tom, the second driver on Red Bull?
Oh, man, I put Liam Lawson in there.
Okay.
Sonoda showed me nothing. Ricardo showed me nothing.
You got nothing to lose.
And Perez has shown me
by
nothing.
Putting him in there.
The problem is, if you put Lawson in the seat, where do you put Perez?
See you later.
Yeah, go back to Mexico.
Yeah, I know. But I would say Perez is probably still more impressive than what Ricardo is.
See you, Danny Rick.
Even put a kid in, like, seriously.
But there's talks of, well, in saying that, that's a great point, because in F2, Lingard won both races, feature and sprint. And what was so impressive about that, the sprint race is reverse grid. So he started 10th.
Oh, wow.
So I think he started 10th, actually. I don't know that. But he won both races, which is it's never happened in Silverstone before.
Yeah, wow.
It's nuts.
So he's a Red Bull driver.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of talent there.
Oh, man. That racing, F3 was insane. Three safety cars.
Yeah.
Cars, kids were going around everywhere. Do yourself a favor. Watch the F3 feature race. It was like a Moto3 race on steroids. And it was raining halfway through. And
that's awesome.
F2 was crazy as well. It was raining. Like, it was super exciting.
It really is key for Formula One and those open wheelers is to have tracks like Silverstone where it's just fast cornering, not hard.
No, 60 degree turns. And there's only two real hard braking spots on that track as well. So it's just really free flowing. Yeah, I think it's up there with my favorite circuit, Grand Prix circuit.
Yeah, same.
Like, I think Silverstone and Spa for me, I think
it promotes really good racing.
Yeah, I think they're my two favorite tracks, and they're always going to be exciting races.
Yeah, and it's proven to be. And Formula One's in a really, you know, how funny is it? We were talking about Formula One 2 months ago. Sorry to sink in. This is so boring. I mean, we've got another year of this until the rule changes, whatever it is.
It's been flipped on its head.
And now it's been flipped on its head, and anyone can win, and it's really exciting.
It's crazy.
Mercedes have won the past two.
Yeah. Yep,
who would have thought?
And Ferrari were like going to be the team to take it on, and they're fourth best now.
Yeah, they've really dropped away.
They're mid-frauds.
They're fraud watch. Ferrari's on fraud watch. What's the French guy's name?
They're on Smoko.
Yeah, they're having a fiesta at the moment, seriously. Yeah,
fiesta.
Isn't that a Ford?
That's a Mexican celebration.
Yeah, that's right. You mean siesta.
Siesta. And that's Spanish. Anyway, Carlos Sainz having a siesta. Actually, yeah, not a bad race, in all jokes aside.
Well, he's doing better than Leclerc. We'll talk about this on the Patreon.
You know who's on an interesting path? I'm not going to say fraud path, but yeah, Fernando Alonso.
He's really fallen away.
He got beaten out by Stroll.
Super.
Like, he should have been up there. That's his race.
Mm.
That's wet conditions. As Jeremy Clarkson said on the grid, the old boys always do well in the wet, and that's where Hamilton and those sort of types always come out to play. So, yeah, he's almost – I think we had him as past their prime question mark in our rankings this week, Jim.
Yeah, we just put that up. So
that's – it's sad to see, but we'll see how it happens.
That's awesome. It's in a great spot, though. I'm really enjoying watching it. Like, I'm not going to lie, there's been races where probably Daniel and I watched it going – Nothing's going on.
The thing is, it is a long race, and we're used to the fast action 40-minute MotoGP race. It's an hour and 40-minute race. You have to,
providing that there's no safety, like big accidents or safety cars or stoppages or anything.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
It can be. It's a big commitment to watch a Formula One race. It could be a couple of hours in the end. So yeah,
it's just you need a right. You just need the right track, and I think the cars are now a lot closer to get together. Yeah. Where it's so even, where now anything can happen. And that's great. I love, like, that's all you want. You just want to go into a race weekend thinking, I don't know who's going to win.
That's right. Yeah. You don't want to be like, as we mentioned a couple months ago, oh, Max is going to dominate.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, certain cars enjoy certain tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like those fast pace, colder conditions, Mercedes.
Mm.
Tight, twisty, probably more the Red Bulls.
Okay. Yeah. True. And then you've got Haas coming out of nowhere and putting two weekends in a row.
Yeah. But then you got Red Bull and don't perform in street circuits. Yeah. So it's like Hungary coming up. That's going to be really interesting.
When's that, Tom?
2 weeks.
Yeah. Cool.
So we've got a break next week, boys. We've got a special guest.
It's next week.
Pod.
Yeah.
We'll be releasing, which is probably, I reckon, one of the most exciting ones we've done.
Yeah. For our listeners, when we put this out, I can't give too much away, but we talk about something that is not the main thing that he has done.
Yeah.
And we were all like hooked on this one thing.
Well, like, we started talking about his main sport and we're like, hey. So yeah, we get back there. Leonardo DiCaprio. But yeah, it's a must listen, that one.
Yeah, that is.
And you'll hear the passion through your speakers of your vehicle or home. Yeah.
And like, you can just tell that these people are a different breed. We are definitely not like them.
No, God.
Not many people are like them.
Yeah. So yeah, stay tuned. We'll be releasing that next Monday.
And one of the world's nicest people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ripper nice. Person.
Ripper bloke. That was good.
Hot takes.
Got him, mate. Got him. I completely forgot about him, but I got him.
I'm the mediator, bruh. You know, I got to remember these things.
Shut up.
Wheels would fall off if it wasn't for you, mate.
Yeah, that's all right.
Jimmy's done all right this week.
Yeah, I'm pretty cooked.
Might lose his missus over it, but Republic is number one, bruh.
Priorities.
I'm going to be moving up with you, Dad, soon, I reckon. You're listening. I'm coming up.
He's coming up. You get the room ready. He's coming.
Yeah.
Get a spare room at mine, bro, if you want to leave with me.
I don't know if you want to leave with anyone. Daniel?
No, I'm enjoying it, actually.
When he comes when he comes home, he goes straight to his bedroom, shuts the door,
get out, Jim.
Any annoying dogs, but at least you're not bringing any.
No, just a cat will kill you.
Nah, Ped's all right.
Bro, he'll kill him. He won't be able to breathe.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, no good for the allergies.
My uncle stayed with me for a month, and he's really allergic to cats, so we had to, like, keep him away. And he went to take a piss in the middle of the night, and my cat, big fluffy boy, runs in, and he closes the door on him. And he didn't realise, it was like 3 a.m, and he woke up and he almost had to go to the hospital because a cat, like, sitting on him, he's like ingesting all the fluff, and we're working on the house. So he just went to the house at 3 a.m. and started working because he left his asthma puffer there.
Oh, God.
And literally, the cat almost killed him. Shout out to John.
Yeah, Jono.
Oh, dude, when he was showing her for us how to improve the raceway.
Yeah, you know, the raceway got back to him.
No way.
Yeah, what track was that again?
Morgan Park.
Morgan Park. So if anyone's listening...
Was it Morgan Park?
Was it Morgan Park?
That's when you went up
Ipswich.
To...
Is that Ipswich? Morgan Park?
Oh,
I don't know. Sure, if it was Morgan Park. I thought that's the one coming up. Ipswich. We're at a cycle track.
Wakefield Park, is it?
Nah, that's not it.
I think Wakefield Park's coming up, isn't it?
Far out.
They actually didn't, did they?
Yeah, so he, whatever motorbike track it is, Queensland Raceway? That's that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Queensland Raceway, I'm pretty sure it is. Anyway, he emailed them with the drawings of the track, and they got back to me. I was on the phone to them for a couple of hours, and they're like, oh, yeah, like, we really agree with, like, what you should do, but apparently they've tried to do it, but some of the riders don't want it because the two... Where he's changed it, it's too close together, so there's no real runoff, and it meets. But I think that is something that they want to do. But yeah, he was full having a chat with him.
What a legend!
Yeah, he was showing her boss on how he wrote it down on a napkin.
Was it the napkin or the sausage roll?
Oh, yeah,
paper?
The sausage roll paper.
Oh my god,
that was the best.
Right,
man.
Before we started the pod,
that was, and her boss is such a nice guy. God, that was a laugh. Good on him. That's like, if you just know John, that's exactly...
That's John 101, isn't it? Like,
but he's not wrong, though. Like, seriously, you've got to fix the track.
Shout out, John.
Shout out, John. MJ Performance of the Week, John, right there. That's JRT900. I agree with this. Miguel Oliveira's Saxon Ring performance was a one-off. He'll be nowhere after the summer break.
Nah, I disagree.
Nah, rough.
Disagree. He's found something. What's the track after it's coming up after the summer? Well, Silverstone. Don't know. That's a fucking ballsy track, isn't it? You got to have big Kangoo right, just
they
for that.
They did all right there, but Aprilia.
Yeah, it's an Aprilia track, definitely.
They like colder conditions, like the Mercedes.
It's amazing Silverstone get two like races back to back. Like yeah. There's only 3 weeks difference break between F1 and Moto. Like, imagine that in Australia if you had MotoGP and F1 3 weeks apart.
Would you like that?
I don't think so. I like them split up because you get to look forward to both things each side of the year.
Too many people otherwise.
I see. I love. You know how we talked about MotoGP at Phillip Island, like we wanted to get more popular. Like I actually don't think I do.
I know.
I love how it's like quiet down there, like on a Friday and stuff. Like, it's still
are
busy.
Are you saying that because you're worried people will stop you too much?
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna be the kings. We already are the kings, but we're gonna be having beers of everyone.
Oh no, it's gonna be insane. I'm gonna have to like have a fucking AA meeting after next year. I reckon the amount of alcohol we're gonna drink.
Yeah, it's gonna be rough. And you know.
And I'll say to James that like we'll take it easy. Like this year, you know, we've got a lot of responsibilities and stuff. Mate, fucking Thursday night, I'll be up on fucking drinking straight, you know, to give shit, you know what I'm saying?
Head under the tap?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Too scared to pee?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's you, bro. We talk about it. Don't you give your insecurities on me.
Don't gaslight me like that. It's strange.
Tune into the Patreon for the rest of that chat.
Actually, James, we might install our own Motorsport Republic cubicle. At the hotel this year. You can have your own little personal where you can go and piss and shit.
Yeah, I'll
right?
have like a little red velvet tape and like a big Maori bouncer in front of it. Nah, not tonight, mate.
You know what? If you're rich and famous, that'd be your number one thing.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, fucking hell.
I'll do that 100%.
Mine would be the hookers and the coke. Yours would be the private toilet. Sorry, I think I'm just back at Patreon again. Yeah.
Sorry. It's taking a turn.
Jim, come on, get to the next one before we get cancelled.
At underscore Derek Hall. Yamaha will have a better bike than KTM next year. HRC should run a Moto2 bike for fuck's sake.
Well, did you guys see what I sent you about the pole time for Moto2 was faster than one Mir's pole?
That was insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aigura's time.
Yeah.
I don't know about Yamaha turning it around that quickly. That KTM is still a pretty good bike.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how the riders go on it next year, that's for sure.
I think
a whole heap of new riders.
Yeah. I think all roads are leading to the new regs for Yamaha.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to spend too much money on this generation bike.
They're having a crack, though.
They are. They're doing
well. Quartararo got 11th or something like that. It's better.
Yeah.
Like, they're not...
Did not see him on the coverage once.
Nah, you...
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
But Yamaha last year were... struggling to make points, and now they're pushing top tens, top eights.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Their gaps, they've really improved that gap.
Yeah,
where Honda's just given up.
Yeah, they're just going further and further.
Alberto Puig on the radio of Crafa was like, do you have a direction yet? And he admitted they didn't even have a direction.
Shows you how bad Yamaha is. Then Morbidelli obviously is coming good. He never did anything on that Yamaha in the last couple of years.
It shows you how like technical these bikes are and how hard it is to ride around it now.
Yeah,
It's different to 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It really is, unless you're a diamond, which no one really is. At Robin Plula, Max carries the Red Bull. The error is gone.
Wow, there you go. Yeah, it's probably fucking
probably bang on.
Oh, if they lose Max, like
they'll fall to shit.
Yeah, 100%. Wouldn't
they? They'll literally crumble.
You know what's amazing? How internal struggles can just leach out to performance.
It's almost happened since everything's come out. Yep. It's a downfall. It's just kind of started to happen.
Slowly.
It's amazing. You look at that, like switching codes, like AFL teams. Like you see the internal problems. It just for performance.
Melbourne Demons this year after Clayton Oliver.
It's amazing though. It's how it can just leach out, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a great call. Max has been probably carrying that team longer than we all think as well.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a Marquez situation. He was carrying Honda more than we all think as well.
It's nice to have an F1 question.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's nice. Bring.
I got a second one
James
for you.
James always skips the F1 ones because he's more MotoGP. So,
I got a second one for you. At Jared.Madsen, McLaren hired the Ferrari strategy team.
Yeah, true. That's a great take.
You like that?
Well, it's just panic. They don't need to panic. That's the thing. There's no need to panic on that. And, anyway, it's their downfall, isn't it?
This is a funny one. At McDonald.Ethan, Pecco should be pissed that Ducati is paying Mark more than him next year. I don't think he cares.
Nah.
I don't think so.
I think he's just happy to have the number one plate in the front of his bike. And I'm sure he's getting paid pretty good. There's a few, obviously, about Martin can't handle the pressure. We've gone through that.
Yep.
At Natasha Manguani, do you think Mark on a GP23 can take the championship fight to Pecco plus Martin? Me, no. And I think that's kind of evident.
No.
Halfway for me, through the season now. And for me, again, I don't want to keep finding excuses for Marquez, but there is a big difference between those bikes, it looks like. 23 to 24.
There's a massive
big difference. Yeah. I hate you finding that excuse for Marquez, though. Like, because he's had excuses for the last 5 years, excuse after excuse after excuse. Is he as talented as we all think? Who knows? We'll find out next year.
It keeps us interesting still.
But next year, as we said on the pod last week, it's like, that's it. If you don't perform next year.
Yeah, that's it. See you later. You're not the person who you were.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look.
The GOAT conversation's over.
And that's not the worst thing either. People just get older and they either lose that drive.
Right. That's
like 100%. Lose the ability to have injuries. Like it's
the sport catches up to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right.
You know, it's nothing. It's not new.
No. Well, you looked at Rossi in his last 2 or 3
Rossi's
years.
Rossi's last title was 2009. Yeah. People forget that. It's a long time ago. You know? What was that next one? Sorry. I'm Mick James, bitch. Tire pressure investigation.
Is that you? Alter ego.
Yeah, true. Tire pressure investigations are going to fuck MotoGP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And as Daniel says, it cannot let it change the result of a championship.
Championship.
Bro, imagine Valencia, Bagnaia wins a championship. They're all celebrating in Parc Fermé. Boom, 16-second penalty. And you won't find out till like half an hour after the race.
Cardozzi will already be half a bottle of champagne deep.
Yeah.
He can't do it.
No, because it's... And the other thing is, this is what you have to understand. It's such a fine line.
It is.
Like, they run them to the 0.1% PSI or whatever how they measure it. It can and if you're behind a bike or you're leading, it can change so much. It's ridiculous. They need to find a different. They need to make the tire better.
Yeah, Michelin.
Or just
step
scrap
up.
The freaking rule.
Yeah.
Was it ever a safety issue?
I don't know.
We see just as much curses now than we did 2 years ago.
It's more annoying than aero, that tire pressure.
It is.
It's more annoying than aero.
At the moment, it is. At least there's some good racing where we can not look to the aero.
Tire pressure ruined a bit of Assen. Because Marquez 100%. Had to back off and Didge had to back off and almost ran into each other. Like, jeez.
Fucking so frustrating.
At Kyle Holmes 07, there's a reason why Ducati did not sign Martin. Cracks under pressure.
Yeah, that's a good point. But we
seen it again. We touch on
but that's the thing. We, as media, we talk about this at the start of the pod. We, from one to week to the other, we. What's the knee jerk reaction?
Yeah, knee jerk reaction. But
he hasn't done that in a while, Martin. He's been good.
He did it Jerez and he's done it Sachsenring.
Yeah, but he's been taking his second places when he needs to as well.
God,
no, and he did it in sprint race in Mugello too, as well. Didn't he?
Yeah, he did too. Yeah.
Mm.
Turn one, I think, wasn't it?
Yep.
At Superbike_R1M, I like this one. Michelin Techs should set the pressures on the grid after asking what the team wants.
Or they should have, or they should have all the same pressure.
Yeah, maybe it depends on suspension setups and things like that.
You got to take that into account.
And different bikes, different chassis, fuel load. But that's probably
the best way to go about it.
Yeah, isn't it? That's smart.
Yeah. Just say we want 21.1 PSI. Yeah.
And it's on that Michelin rep or whoever you want to do. I think they all have their own Michelin guy anyway.
That's perfect.
That fixes the situation.
And then there's no penalties. Because Michelin set the
temperature. Jack and Tardozzi puts a couple hundo underneath the table for the Michelin guy. Hey, just
put it down
PSI
the 19. It plays with the tie gauge.
Nah, that's a great. That's probably our best hot take in ever. That's such a good take. Love it.
Yeah, that's a really good one. It's a good question.
Didn't have him prep beforehand?
Nah, I didn't.
Busy?
Yeah, haven't slept. At Yasmin X Kesem, who do you think will perform better at Ducati next year, Marquez or Bagnaia?
Pecco.
Bagnaia. Easy. There's a lot of poor Martin copped it. That's it, really. The rest of them is just Martin. We've just gone over that. It's just MotoGP blog. Jorge has fumbled a season. I don't think he'll ever win a championship at this point. And he said that before. He said that before that weekend.
True. Heard it from a few people.
Yep. So the Republica fans have they've voiced their opinion and Martin's out. They're dead to us. He's dead to us.
Yeah, the people have spoken and we agree with them.
He just wanted an early summer break.
Yeah. Yeah. About two laps early. You dog.
Had a plane to catch.
That's right.
That's it, eh?
That's us, fellas.
Thanks, boys.
All right, boys.
We've done well on 4 hours sleep, staying up and watching all that motorsport last night.
Yeah, there's a lot. I'm wrecked. I'm going to go home and sleep.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you for a special ep next week, and we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
100%. Don't forget, sign up to our Patreon on our link tree.
Thanks.
See you guys.
Bye.